So the session, hopefully you're here for today. And in hindsight, I should have bigged up the title so I can beat the competition. But so we're going to talk about the Milliman integrated solution as powered by Cortana Analytics. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go through the session today. But let's just kick off with a few introductions. So myself, Paul Moore, I work at Milliman. I'm the CTO of Live Technology Solutions. And I'm joined by Tanan Anand here. Gentlemen, do you want to say hi?
Hi, everyone. I'm Tan.
Hello, folks. I'm Anand Subbarat. I'm a program manager in Azure Data Factory, which is one of the capabilities in Cortana Analytics.
I actually have some of my folks here from the team also. So we're going to go through a little bit of the explain who we are, what we're doing, and then we can kind of take whichever direction. And as we have a small audience, we can absolutely take advantage of either if you want to have more of a business conversation, you can speak to myself. If you want to speak to go a little bit more technical, I have my team here at the front. And then Anand from the product group here can go. So we can go whichever direction you really want to go to. So the benefit of small numbers is you get to ask some really great questions and go the direction that you want to. So just a little bit about myself. So I joined Milliman around 3 years ago, 2 years ago actually. It feels like 3 years. And then prior to that, I was 9 years at Microsoft. So around 5 years at Microsoft here at corporate and 4 years at Microsoft UK. And I was kind of reflecting back, and it's kind of fun to be here today. So when I actually, one of my first jobs when I joined Microsoft UK in 2005 was actually speaking to lots of analysts about this thing called the cloud. And so kind of flash forward, it's kind of nice to be talking about Cortana Analytics and, you know, all the deep dive sessions on the great technologies and hopefully hearing from people like myself who have been building on the cloud and using Cortana Analytics. I joined Milliman in a couple of years ago, but I actually worked with Milliman with my old Microsoft team going back in 2011 on the integrated solution. So in that capacity at Microsoft, I had my team working with the Milliman team on their journey to the cloud. And then I joined in 2013, and then now here in 2015, we're going strong and continuing to build in the cloud. And thank you for coming forward. It's always good to have someone to present to. But the agenda today, so I thought we'd go through the session goals and takeaways. So, you know, if I kind of wander through the sessions, I want to make sure that we land some key points from our perspective that hopefully are useful takeaways for you guys. We'll talk a little bit about Milliman, who is Milliman, and we'll spend a little bit of time talking about our flagship product called Integrate running on the cloud. I'm going to break it into two components on Integrate. We're going to talk about Integrate as it is today, running on the cloud, and then we're going to talk about a new product called Data Management that we're just building out as we speak, and we've been partnering with Anand and team on that. So we've released part one of that already, and then part two of the Data Management product will be released January next year. So we're pretty close. And then I'm going to hand over to Tan here to do a demo of Data Management, and then Anand here will do a kind of a Cortana Analytics recap and kind of land the key points. And I'm sure we'll get some time at the end to do some Q&A. So that's where you can start thinking about the direction that you want the session to go. So, you know, kind of thinking about the session, some of the goals that I really wanted to make sure we landed. So we'll talk a little bit about Milliman, and we'll talk about our flagship product in the cloud called Integrate and what it is and how we've built it. We'll provide a little bit of an overview of how we're using the cloud and Cortana Analytics. And as you see, as we go through the session, we really are all in on the cloud in a big way. So hopefully we can share some interesting stories with you guys. And then, you know, my goal here today is to make sure that you guys really, I would encourage you to go away and explore Azure, go explore Cortana Analytics. So certainly in the Q&A, I'd encourage you guys just, you know, pepper us with questions. If you're thinking about, you know, starting the cloud journey, or if you're already on the cloud journey, happy to kind of have a conversation. And then some of the key takeaways that I just wanted to make sure that it landed from kind of the get-go, certainly from my perspective, building on Integrate and building on the cloud. You know, so it really is true. I mean, we started the journey in 2011. We really were able to get to market a lot quicker using Azure and leveraging the associated Azure services and now Cortana Analytics. From an IT cost perspective, we were able to really kind of pull down the costs. Certainly, as you get to know a little bit more about us and our customers, we really are large scale on compute. So using cloud has allowed us to really scale to the demands of our clients. Of course, you know, the other thing that's really given us that competitive advantage is enabled us to be creative and flexible using Azure and the associated services. So, you know, from that perspective, I think we've been able to do a lot more with the integrated solution versus we built it ourselves and we didn't go on this cloud journey. Obviously, a big thing for everyone is security and reliability, and it's kind of a big tick from our perspective. We get asked about that, and it's essential with our clients. And you know, so far, it's a great story to report back. And then, you know, kind of the big star is, you know, and I think a lot of folk who are on the cloud or moving to the cloud will be evaluating the whole kind of pay-as-you-go model. We definitely have kind of flipped our pricing model on its head to have being all in on the cloud in that kind of pay-as-you-go model. But we've seen real benefits from that. So let's start with who is Milliman. So Milliman is an actuarial and services company founded in the 40s, headquartered actually in Seattle. A lot of people are surprised by that, such as myself, excuse me, and Tan. They're based out of our headquarters at Rainier Tower in Seattle. Typical clients include insurance companies, financial services companies, even governments and regulators. So we kind of really play into their broad gamut of clients. You've probably maybe kind of seen a new word called an actuary. So you know, a quick kind of Google on Wikipedia this morning. So kind of there's the definition of an actuary. So an actuary is a business professional who deals with measurement and management of risk and uncertainty. And you can kind of read the rest, but I just wanted to land that word as we talk about the integrated solution, who sort of the target user of our solution is. And in the case of Integrate, it's really tailored towards the life insurance market. Little side, so my joke when I get back to the office will be, so, you know, obviously the actuaries are really smart guys. Well, with Cortana Analytics, I think they may well be out of a job with the whole machine learning play. But we shall see. So I alluded to it before, so what is Integrate? So the caveat here is I'm going to talk for a moment about Integrate that's in the market today and associated products, excluding data management. As I mentioned, that's under development at the moment. Part one is complete, part two is underway, and we'll talk about that in a little moment. But let's talk about Integrate in the marketplace today. So what is Integrate? So Integrate is an end-to-end cloud-based solution for the life insurance market. We mentioned the kind of the target audience is life insurance and actuaries. It provides actuarial modeling at scale using a pay-as-you-go pricing model. And absolutely is powered by the Microsoft Azure cloud. And you know, I just do want to land that. I mean, we really are all in on the cloud, absolutely, in terms of the products. And then you see the graphic in the corner talks to a little bit of the products that we have. So we have our MGL for desktop application, which is an end-to-end financial modeling system. We have our compute product that really provides the grid computing capabilities that is really the backbone of Integrate and working on the cloud. And then we have model development that provides collaboration, control, and tracking when working when our actuaries are working with models. You might want to think of it as Team Foundation Server for actuaries, although my team in corner will probably frown. And then we have financial projections that is an environment for actuaries to do financial projections. So I'm going to pause for a moment. So I thought before we kind of jump right in, why cloud? Why did we move to the cloud? And we really have bet our business on that. And just, you know, as the CTO of Life Technology Solutions, every day, you know, my decisions were always questioned. I need to report to my CFO of why did we do that. Being in financial services, of course, it's all about making money, absolutely. So, you know, so why cloud? Well, I thought the best way to describe that was what was the problem? So if we go back, you know, sort of in the 2011 timeframe, when we began the Integrate journey, we certainly saw changing market needs and demands. There was absolutely increasing cost and complexity around financial modeling. And you know, these really talented, expensive actuaries, we wanted to ensure that we freed them up to focus their time and talents on analyzing results. So you could really probably apply that to different industries as well. So the four graphics you see and kind of the bullet points was really the decision-making that we went through. So taking a step back and looking at the future of our products, you know, number one was we made a decision to move to the cloud. Well, what does that mean? We need to take a step back then and say, well, based on our workload demands, what were they? And more importantly, could the cloud deliver at scale and at the right price point? And were we comfortable with the pay-as-you-go model that we talked about earlier? And then the third point was, how did we want to deliver the solution? So with Integrate, we actually built from the ground up. So we made a very conscious decision to go platform as a service, delivering to our clients a software as a service. So yeah, absolutely, you know, we made a big investment to say, let's go rebuild versus reinvest on what we have and use something, say, as infrastructure as a service. I would say, you know, sort of 3 or 4 years on, that decision to go rebuild is now advantageous. We have a very optimal solution that's targeting Azure, and that's what makes it so easy to work with Anand and team and Cortana Analytics just to be able to light up on the additional services. And then obviously the fact that I'm here today, we chose Microsoft as the cloud provider. And you know, I will share, our journey started out with IBM, pre my time. IBM got out of the game of cloud, although apparently they've just come back. Although I did look at the investment that they were making, which was seemed pretty inconsequential to me. We looked at Amazon, and we definitely didn't want to go the infrastructure as a service path. We didn't see the advantage of that. And we, you know, with the direction that Microsoft was taking on cloud and the close partnership, and you know, I certainly can't overplay the partnership piece as well as the technology, because when you're going on such a transformational journey, the technology is one thing, but having a partner such as Microsoft there is really, really important. Because when things go wrong, and they absolutely will, as to which my team will attest, there's nothing better than having a partner that's there, kind of arm in arm, that you can speak to and kind of talk about some of those hard problems and some of those hard technology challenges. Hey, you in the back, please come on down to the front. We have a small audience. You're more than welcome. So, you know, your question probably back is, but Paul, what about your on-premise investment? So, you know, you've heard already that we have lots of, we work in an industry that works on complex problems. We're really kind of at scale on compute. And certainly our clients are very used to having large compute requirements. So they've made non-inconsequential investments around hardware, so HPC hardware investments in the millions of dollars. So it's really important for us to be able to leverage that as well, which we can. So we're able to, with the integrated solution, take advantage of both the existing investment, but also be all in on the cloud. So a scenario would be with Integrate, we can run all in on Azure, or we can run a hybrid scenario where we can burst to the cloud. So take advantage of a client's existing investment on their HPC clusters, and then ramp up on scale using Azure. So we kind of got the best of both worlds. And then what we're seeing now as a trend for those clients, now, you know, first of all, it's, you know, kind of a few years on, but it's kind of a funny conversation. It's first of all, but hey, Paul, our cloud is as big as Microsoft's cloud. Now they realize it's not, and they're actually getting out of the business of capital expenditure. It really is a true story. So there isn't, in a lot of clients' cases, they're continuing to burn down their existing investment, and then as and when they need more scale, they look to the cloud for more scale versus, you know, writing another multi-million dollar check off for further hardware. So I'll pause and let you guys kind of look for a moment and draw your attention to the last three bullets. So I thought it'd be interesting, just some of the Integrate talking points. So as you've heard, we're all in on cloud. We absolutely are. Integrate runs entirely on Microsoft Azure in a platform as a service, built as platform as a service, delivered as a software as a service solution. Just a little side note from that, and we actually recently had a conversation on moving some of our other assets to infrastructure as a service. The operational cost is immense. I mean, it's a physical people investment that we have to make. Whereas in a platform as a service, software as a service delivery mechanism, our operational cost is a lot less. We're not maintaining the core OS and patching and so on and so forth. So just kind of a side note that infrastructure as a service absolutely serves its need, but be fully aware of what it means and also the physical cost that it will bring to you. We absolutely have been able to scale to our large compute demands of our clients. And we're using Azure Storage as some of the kind of the data points. But the last three probably land the how much we're really in on the cloud. So last year, we surpassed more than 45 million compute hours. Last month, we surpassed last year's compute hours. So you can see we're exponentially going up. We run on grids of up to about 50,000 cores. So anyone who's familiar with cloud and running cores, that's a pretty big number. Sometimes we have to have a conversation with Microsoft about the scale of the cores, but it's fun. The good thing is they can scale to that size, and we have a 99.9% job completion rate. Okay, so I've alluded to it. So what is data management? So data management is our new product that will sit under the Integrate Suite. And at a high level, it is essential to support our financial reporting process. And succinctly put, it provides the following capabilities: ETL, extract, transform, load, data analytics, and reporting. So some of the key assets that come out, you've got things like data extracts, we do data visualization, exploration, and we do printing. But let's drill into that a little bit more. So I mentioned that part one of the solution was built, the ETL side of things, and then part two is actively under development, working with Anand and others, due for delivery in January. So on the ETL side of things, just calling out some of the key technologies that we're doing. And just as a side note, I mean, we absolutely went out and explored a ton of options. You know, and at the end of the day, I get asked to say, Paul, is this the right solution? So, ultimately, my job is on the line to say, are we making the right technology choices? So we certainly did our due diligence, and there are absolutely some interesting ETL products out there. But we decided to go the path of building in conjunction with Microsoft and building on the cloud using Azure Data Factory. So at the core of our ETL processes, we're using Azure Data Factory and Azure Data Factory pipelines to drive those processes. The underpinnings for the data that we aggregate from on-premise and pull up into the cloud from a bunch of disparate data source types, accountancy systems, you name it, financial systems. We use HD Insight for the big data processing, and we're using Pig scripts to analyze those large data sets. In fact, we actually have our actuaries who are writing the Pig scripts that do the analysis, which is fun and interesting. And we use Azure Storage as well. So kind of putting it all together for the ETL process, we have data being pulled into the cloud from different sources. At the core of everything, we're using Azure Data Factory, pipelines to drive the process. The data repository is HD Insights, and we're using Pig scripting to do the analysis on top of HD Insights. Part two, which is underway, and my colleagues in the other room probably from Microsoft, under development is reporting. So for the reporting side of things, we're looking at Power BI for interactive dashboards and drill downs, and then SQL Server reporting services for tabular reporting and printing. So as you guys go out to, if you're looking for a reporting solution in the cloud today, it doesn't exist. It is something called Power BI, or it is going to a Tableau or a Qlik or a Burst, taking a VM and hosting that. And as mentioned before, we're all platform as a service, delivering a software as a service. So it was an interesting bump in the road as we did the due diligence around reporting. But thankfully, with Cortana Analytics and Power BI and the direction that's going, we're super excited that we continue that platform as a service, software as a service delivery, and not have to bring in a kind of the bump in the road, which I'd call infrastructure as a service and hosting VMs. So let's just throw up a semi-technical slide of what data management is. So I mentioned we do some clever stuff, which is our component called the data exchange interface. So that does a lot of the grungy work to go get the data, pull it up into the cloud, which is stored in Azure Storage. We talked about the ETL processing that's being driven by Azure Data Factory. We talked about the data repository being HD Insights, which is obviously sitting on top of the Hadoop cluster. We talked about the pig scripting that our actuaries are writing to actually interrogate the data. And then we have input-output data that is used either to run within the ETL processes or is used for reporting. And then on the reporting side of things, we have the data that is ultimately pulled out from those ETL processes being stored in the cloud and then can be pulled down if need be on-premise for the reporting and analytics piece to play. And then on the reporting and analytics, we talked about we're using Power BI to do that for the interactive dashboards, drill downs, and we're using SQL Server reporting services for the more traditional tabular reports and printing. And just if pig is an unknown word to you, I swear to you it's real. And there's also something called Hive. And here's just a quick snapshot of what that looks like. And this is what our actuaries are writing. It's a very, very interesting language, actually. And then I mentioned, so all that data that we've got, how are we interrogating it? How are we actually viewing it? And then ultimately, how are we consuming it for things like traditional reports and printing? So for the dashboards and drill downs, we're using Power BI. And if you've not been to the sessions, which I think might have already happened or are ongoing, Power BI is super exciting. I mean, there have been a few incarnations, but the direction it's going now, whether it be using the version with Office 365 or the version that is deshackled from Office 365 running in Azure is really, really exciting. So for us trying to drive a reporting solution in the cloud, it really is good. And you know, the benefit that we have working closer with Microsoft is we're able to shape some of the direction of where Power BI is going as well. So we're very excited. Lots of great stuff. Again, kind of a big call out for Cortana Analytics and the suite of products that are happening. So what does Integrate then become, including data management? So it becomes an end-to-end cloud-based solution for the life insurance market. It provides actuarial modeling at scale using a pay-as-you-go pricing model. It has comprehensive ETL, data analytics, and reporting, all powered by the cloud and Cortana Analytics. So if you think about that from your perspective, we're ticking a ton of the boxes around Cortana Analytics. We're delivering a platform as a service solution, delivered as software as a service, and just lighting up. You know, I was actually going to do a grab of the Cortana Analytics kind of chart. I mean, things like that are coming next, which is so easy for us to light up on, is data lake. You know, I kind of joked about the machine learning, but you know, I do probably see that there's a future there. But given the being all in, and now with the services that are being offered, it's super easy for us just to really be able to consume those services. Okay, the reason you were here, let's show data management as a demo. So hopefully the demo gods are with Tan today, but we shall see how things go. And this is live, this is going to the cloud, so hopefully on our wide network things will work. Over to you, Tan.
All right, thank you, Paul. Everybody can hear fine? All right. Okay. So to recap, my name is Tan. I'm the test manager in the Life Technology Solution at Milliman. And in this segment, I will be doing a demo on our data management component that is part of our Integrate solution. So the scenario is about extracting assets and liabilities from a banking system, and then to transform that data into output files that our Integrate solution can use to run actuarial valuation. At a high level, an actuarial valuation is a type of risk analysis to determine future liabilities. For a concrete example is a given company might want to know if they will be still solvent in X number of years. Okay. So as part of the demo, I will be showing the main core component of data management and then show how it integrates with the Cortana Analytics. Okay. So from an actuary perspective, some of the main challenges when it comes to data processing is the management and the organization of that data. And as Paul mentioned, is to write a PIC script. So to help manage that complexity, data management environment provides a user-friendly environment to manage those data and work with that data. So there are five sections in the environment. The first one to your left is provides a way to manage that work. So you have the authoring where you create the building blocks to create the data and how to process that data with PIC script. And once you have those building blocks created, you would use jobs to create ETL transformation and then execute them. The diagnostic one enables you to do troubleshooting, looking at events, logs, and error messages if needed. Okay. The area to next to that left side is the main navigation area where you can look at each of the folders here. Each folder is basically a project in the data management. It enables you to organize and manage the disparate various input of files. In here we have a pre-existing demo that I put together in the interest of time. Building one of these projects can take a while. What I will do is to walk you through some of those concepts in what it takes to build a transformation, and then how to create an ETL job to run the transformation. A lot of the files that we're using to run our valuation are tab value separated files. They have a lot of numbers in there, and it can be challenging to make sense of what those files contain. So we abstract that by defining schemas to define those the context of the file. Schemas contain column names, description, and the nice thing is it will provide you a domain, the data type that you can attribute to those columns names. So as part of the capability of data management, we have similar to the Team Foundation server source control, we can enable checking out and checking in files so that actuaries can collaborate and have a version control of their files. When you go and you edit a schema, you can define the columns that you need to work with the input files. The nice thing is you also can pick the data type for each of the schema instead of like having to type it manually. Once you're done, then you can check in, and here I will revert because I'm not gonna plan on checking it in. Okay. So schemas are the main building blocks. Once you have the schema defined, you will create tables. A table is a mostly associated with a schema and then a data set that we'll use to run the transformation. And there are other types where you have code reuse. We can define templates and then reuse them in different part of the building blocks. Okay. What's interesting here is the ETL process. So the ETL process will enable the extraction and transformation of the data. And here lies the PIC script. So for a given transformation, this PIC script will do some data ranking, remove unnecessary information, and do some data manipulation. So once that's done, The interesting part is, of course, executing that job. So here I have a simple ETL job that I will be running. Okay, so to start the job, then now we're leveraging the HD Insight. Here on your right, you have different tabs that are tool aware, where the HD Insight tab enables you to create clusters, start them and stop them. We have one cluster that is ready to go for the demo, so we can assign one to this one, and then we start. So now the ETL job is ready to go. Everything is running in the background. What we're gonna do now is to drop some files and see that they will be starting to be processed. So one thing to note here is you have the input files and output files. These statuses are still blank because there's the process is not processing anything yet, but we'll start dropping files. I'll restart our on-premise file uploader so that it can cycle right away. Otherwise, it's the cycling time is 5 minutes. We see that when we started the process, some folders were created underneath. And what we can do now is to drop files. You see that now the ETL process recognized that there are some files and it will start processing. It takes a few minutes to process the files, but we can see back here where check marks are now showing up, meaning that these files are recognized and processed. Some files will be processed faster, but these some other files can take a while. All right. Another part of the data management system that I like to show is how we use the Cortana Analytics to power the data management. When we go to a more complex project to show more of the generation that happens on the cloud, I'll use this. Projects. And I create a job using so now that when we start the job, there's a lot of processes that happens under the hood. What I'm going to show is a mapping between what data management is doing and what we can going to see being generated in the Azure Data Factory. So from the Microsoft Azure portal, we go to the Data Factory. And we can see that the pipeline has been created. Here is, it also takes a while. So we also have a pipeline that I already ran prior to the demo, and this is how it looks like when the pipeline gets generated in the Azure Data Factory.
Awesome. Oh,
thank you.
Excellent. I think Tan needs a round of applause as well going on. So if you didn't realize, he's working across three different screens here. So he's kind of flying blind on the keyboard.
This is awesome, Tan.
This is
great to see, actually. And it's been a while since I saw this, the Integrate. And the way they have matured, I think this is awesome. And this has been an exciting journey with Milliman and Microsoft, and especially on the Cortana Analytics aspects. As Paul mentioned, they have been using Azure for a few years now, right?
Since 2011, yeah.
Exactly. And I think sometimes about 12, 14 months back, we had this meeting wherein I presented Azure Data Factory, which is a capability of Cortana Analytics, to Paul and his team. And they mentioned that they were at that time starting the journey on the data management, data processing layer. And we just then announced the private preview of Azure Data Factory. And we had very few customers. We just started our journey. And it was a very exciting discussion. Paul and his team were looking to start building an ETL platform or a solution to kind of process the data that you saw there. They wanted to orchestrate data management, data processing in an HD Insight cluster. They were already using HD Insight, which is Microsoft's Hadoop distribution in Azure. And they were using that, and they wanted to build this layer that performs ETL, orchestrates data movement, data management using the Hadoop cluster. And that's exactly the goal of Azure Data Factory. And at that time, I told them that Azure Data Factory is meant to be that tool or the platform in Azure that allows orchestration, monitoring, management of big data pipelines. And one of the main goals of Azure Data Factory is to allow our customers to compose big data pipelines by bringing together various services. And the big data pipeline that you see here, this is an awesome example of what we are trying to do with Azure Data Factory. A lot of the customers, they have mentioned to us that they spend months putting in lots of resources and money to build that platform. And that's exactly the journey that Paul and his team were going to take. They were planning to build that. But then they realized that, no, Azure is providing already this capability, so let's take a bet on that. And it's been a year. Azure Data Factory went into GA, general availability, last month. And I think you guys have also released your data management capability in Integrate. So it's been a great journey. It's one of the probably the greatest successful journey that we have seen in the last few years by working with such a great partner. And incidentally, Milliman is one of probably the biggest Azure customer today. And thanks, Paul. I think it's been a great journey. I wanted to mention that it's sad that we do not have more audience, but I think the journey with Paul, his team, and Milliman with Microsoft has been awesome. Now, to talk about Data Factory, as I mentioned, we have three main value props of Data Factory in the context of Cortana Analytics. Cortana Analytics is going to have or is having a bunch of different services. There is HD Insight, which is Microsoft's Hadoop distribution. We have different stores. There is Data Lake, which is going to be the HDFS distribution in the cloud. We are having Azure SQL Data Warehouse, which is probably the only petabyte scale data warehouse in the cloud today, which you can scale up, scale down. But you also need a layer that allows you to compose all of these into a pipeline. And that's exactly what Azure Data Factory is providing as part of that capability. The other value prop of Azure Data Factory is to provide this single pane of glass for monitoring, managing your big data workflows. So this is the single pane of glass that allows you to look at the pipelines, visualize them, be able to monitor, and be able to manage it all from the single pane of glass. Like if there is any issue here, you'd see that, and I'll drill down into it soon. But if there is any issue, you'd be able to drill down into that, you'd be able to debug that, and you'd be able to take actions right from this pane of glass. Now let's drill down into it a little bit. Now you saw Tan was able to create an ETL workflow of running a pig script. Now, what Milliman is doing here is creating an Azure Data Factory pipeline on the fly by using their solution. So we have seen customers using Azure Data Factory in a few different ways. Milliman is one who is using Azure Data Factory as a platform. There are some other customers who use Azure Data Factory to build their pipelines manually. And they're using Azure Data Factory to build their pipelines to orchestrate big data processing to gain insights on data. And one of the biggest value that we are bringing with Cortana Analytics is to provide this integrated platform that allows our customers to transform data into actionable insights. And that is one of the value props of Integrate as well. With the financial reporting, they want to provide the solution that allows actuaries to focus on what they do best, on the analysis of the results, but not worry about the platform that enables them to get the results out of the data. So now to go into this. You see this massive pipeline here. There is data in Azure Blob Storage. There are a bunch of these activities. And if I click into one of these activities, you can drill down into this and understand exactly what's going on here. I see that this is a pig activity. I click on this. And this is going to show me the pig script that an actuary is going to provide. And in this case, I don't have to navigate to another interface to look at the pig script or to take debugging actions in case of a failure. I can do all that here. I can look at the pig script. I can look at when things have gone wrong. And I'll be able to go update that pig script all from the same interface. And you can see this lineage across this entire pipeline. The data is in Blob Store, performs some activity. It produces a bunch of different data sets. Those are subsequently processed by further activities, producing other data sets, and it keeps growing. And we have seen these kind of pipelines getting created by our customers. And in this case, it's a pretty complex pipeline that Milliman has created. And they use this interface to monitor all of these stuff. And in case there is any failure on any one of these nodes, you'd be able to just click on this, navigate through the interface to identify the failure. In this case, there are no failures, so you see everything in green. But if there were any failures, you'd be able to see that from here. Navigate through this, drill down, and look at this. There seems to be some retries happening here. And I can click on this and understand why it is still going on a retry. And it looks like it's looking for a particular blob, which does not exist. But what I was able to do here is just navigate through this user interface to understand, pinpoint exactly what caused the failure. And then I can go take an action to address the problem and then rerun the particular chunk of the data that has failed. So I'll be able to fix this. In this case, I'm not going to do this. But if I know exactly that this particular blob does not exist, that's why it is still waiting on a retry, I need to go put this blob in place and click run, in which case this is going to execute only this chunk of the data that has failed, and all the subsequent dependencies are going to be kicked off, all using the same interface. And again, this is very critical for our customers, because to provide the single pane of glass to monitor, manage this entire workflow is sometimes very, very critical. And one of the goals for Azure Data Factory is to be like the system center for data integrators. We want to provide the single pane of glass for monitoring, managing data pipeline across heterogeneous and hybrid environments. And we have seen a lot of our customers, they have data on premises. They have data in completely different sources like SAS, CRM, Dynamics, and all these different places. They want to create what the industry calls as a data lake in the cloud, to bring data from all of these different places, keep the data in its choice format, and then perform transformation, refinement on demand so that they can gain insights. And with Cortana Analytics and with some of the services that are coming in like Azure Data Lake, we want to allow customers to do that. And Azure Data Factory is going to provide this interface, provide the capability, the platform to ingest data from all these different sources and kind of create the data lake, fulfill the data lake to be able to gain insights out of them. Before I go forward, any questions on this? Awesome. Just close this guy. Just talk about some of the other capabilities here of Azure Data Factory. One of the things that we do is infrastructure management. In this case, I can click on this guy. I look into something that we call as Link Service and click on the HD Insight cluster. We have two different modes of supporting an HD Insight cluster. There's something called as Bring Your Own Cluster, in which case customers have their own cluster. They just bring that, register that with Azure Data Factory. Azure Data Factory orchestrates the job in the HD Insight cluster. There is another mechanism where Azure Data Factory manages, monitors the HD Insight cluster on your behalf. As a customer, you need to just configure the number of nodes on the HD Insight cluster. Then Azure Data Factory performs the infrastructure management, scales it up and down based on the resource availability. We are doing that now for HD Insight. We also have a reliable data movement capability across all regions, and we plan to do the same infrastructure management for Azure Batch. Currently, we support running .NET code on an Azure Batch pool. We want to do the same for on-demand Azure Batch, Azure VMs, that allows creating the Azure VMs, Azure Batch on demand, running the job, and tearing that down. We do the same thing for HD Insight today. That's it, essentially, from Paul.
That's awesome. So I thought we'd drop into a Q&A session, and hopefully you've seen a lot over the last few minutes. Okay, back to you. Yep. So now it's kind of your time to go whichever direction you would like. So I'm happy to talk about sort of the business and solution decisions we made, if you'd like to drill kind of more deeper on the solution, Azure Data Factory, how the ETL is working, kind of open to any and all questions, and I have my team here as well. So I'll open up to the floor. Yeah.
So how long did it take to develop that? And what does the actual partnership look like? I mean, is it your team that's doing the development and then you just partner with Microsoft for questions? Or are they doing some of the development as well?
Mm-hmm. Let's start with the second question. So all development is done by us, but we partner very closely with Microsoft. So Anand and team is really kind of a close point of call for us. So, you know, it's everything from we'll work with the Microsoft team on awareness, we'll go away, we'll do spikes, we'll do development, we'll come back with questions, to when we went live, the team was on tap. Obviously, we were early adopters, so we actually, as Anand mentioned, we are actually live. So. Yeah, you know, the fun and interesting thing, which I think we benefit from the way we do development, is we're an agile house. So we kind of really work quickly and we release, which is kind of in keeping with the way, of course, Azure has gone. So, you know, we'll consume, we'll understand, we'll develop to the requirements, we'll release. So, you know, the kind of touch points with Microsoft is, you know, obviously we meet regularly, we consume information. Physically, the IP and the development happens by Milliman, actually predominantly out of my team in the UK. And then when we went live, because we were so early on kind of releasing, we kind of partnered closely in terms of, you know, kind of working through any kinks that were in there. And then to the other question, what was the first question? It was...
How long did it take?
So we, let's go back to your cycle. So we kind of came in probably, when did we start the conversations?
Like 14 months back, I think.
Yeah, so I think we came in 14 months back in terms of, we started with sort of, where are we going? So if you imagine the way we do development, you know, so I have a couple of things going on. I have the here and now in terms of projects. So this is what I'm building out in the next 6 months, 6 to 12 months. 6 months, I'm very concrete in terms of what that looks like. 12 months, I have a high level idea. And then sort of 12 to 18 months, it's more of the kind of the backlog of kind of, here's what we think we need to do. So probably 14 months ago was, we knew this was coming up. We were just landing the project with the client. So we were kind of starting to kind of evaluate and understand what were options to actually develop the solution. we probably got serious about things, i.e. when the next cycle of development happened, probably 12 months ago. So it's taken about 12 months or so to go build things out. The reality, in fairness, on kind of what you've seen there, you know, we wouldn't have done it without Azure Data Factory. I mean, so we'd still be developing now if we weren't able to use Azure Data Factory, be able to just kind of leverage the pipeline process and the ADF pipelines to give the kind of the heavy lifting on the platform, if you will. And then the kind of the fit and finish and the sparkle was our guys building out the UI and kind of really building out an interactive interface for the users, and kind of the real underpinnings being delivered by Anand and team.
And are your users your middleman actuaries, or is it client actuaries?
So it's a mixture. Depending on the type of project that we have, predominantly in this case, it's actually the client actuaries. The way we run projects, it might be clients have actuaries, we give it entirely to them. It might be kind of a shared resource model where we're working with them, or we might do it independently. To be clear, the goal though is to provide an interface that can be used by the customers. Our goal in all of this was not to be providing a managed service.
Sorry.
Yep, lots of questions, please.
Go ahead.
What were you using before you arrived at HD Insight, and what were the reasons for you to pick HD Insight? Is it the type of data sources or cost?
Yeah, we started on data management kind of requirements, came in not 18 or so months ago. So data management, as I mentioned, is under development, so it's a net new product. So we weren't going from one to another, we built it from scratch. So it was additional capabilities added to the integrated suite. We absolutely went away and did the due diligence. I mean, if you look at we're probably kind of the model scenario, which is we've got data coming from different sources, and we wanted to be able to have a robust repository that we could effectively data mine. And we wanted to be able to have a technology that had a language in Pig and Hive that our end users could have really powerful capabilities to do some complex work. Because ultimately, the data assets that we're aggregating are their data assets. So, we want to make sure that they had a data repository and analysis capabilities, if you will, for them to do, because they know the assets better than we do. Yeah. Does that answer the question? On-premise, you mean, or?
Instead of HD Insight.
It's the complexity of the scripting.
Yeah. Come on, Kelly. So, Kelly Leakey from my team.
So one of the things that they are doing currently in Azure is big data processing and high-performance computing. So they have already been using Azure Compute for all the high-performance computing around financial models. And usually the process goes like this. They get, I believe, Paul, I'm going to talk about you.
That's okay. You talk about us as much as you like.
Yeah. So they're getting all these financial profiles from customers. They get that. They run all their models. Their initial data set is pretty small. They run all these financial models. Monte Carlo simulations is one of them. I don't know if you run that, but I'm just giving a general context here. Mm-hmm. So once you run all of that, the data that is produced, you're running simulations on somebody's profile, and you say, what does the profile looks like, or what does the risk looks like in the next 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20? And the output is usually big data. And now you want to process that big data, that output, to provide reports. And now since they are already using Azure for running all that compute, and the data or the data lake, the industry concept data lake, not the brand data lake, that's in Azure storage, it made sense for them to go with Azure's or Microsoft's Hadoop distribution to process that data. And it met all of their requirements because their data was in a shape that could be consumed in Hadoop. They did not need to do a lot of prepared processing before it can be consumed. So I think that's one of the reasons why they made
it. It is, and I think Kelly was going to kind of allude to the complexity of the data that we have. And Kelly, do you want to?
Yeah, I think there's two things. There's the complexity of the scripting. A lot of the things that the actuaries are doing are the things that you would expect for data mining of, just cleaning up the data itself, fixing data errors and doing that with something like SSIS is challenging at best, without writing a lot of custom code. And we didn't want actuaries to have to build custom plugins to SSIS and that sort of thing to be able to do the complex calculations and lookups and other fix-ups of data that they had to do. That was part of it. The other reason for choosing Hadoop is, and Ann alluded to this, is that the we had two problems to solve. One was how to process the output from our system. The other one was how to process the output from the company's administration systems into input for our system. And for the input problem, really, Hadoop wasn't the obvious choice. But once you start to think of those two problems as kind of the same problem, we also have output as input, that where, you know, output comes from our system and it gets fed back into the system for the next cycle or for other pieces of the calculation. And once you start to think of that whole context, Hadoop looks a lot more attractive, especially given the what we have really isn't big data from the traditional sense of big data. When you talk to people about terabytes and petabytes of data, our data really isn't that big. But what it is there's a massive amount of redundant data that we don't actually care about, and we need to pick little pieces of it out in order to get the results that we need. And Hadoop was excellent for that, and PIG was an excellent way to do that as well. Just the power of it. You know, it's kind of a programming language and SQL together, you know, sort of feature set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's choosing the right tool for the right job. And so, you know, we did a lot of sort of due diligence, and you know, the key thing, I guess the key takeaway really is understanding the requirements. And then understanding the data, and then that starts to make the answers a little easier of what's then the technology choice. And then of course, in our world, we want to be playing totally in the cloud. So using HD Insight on top of Hadoop rather than a local installation, we don't want to play on the on-premise world. We get real benefits of saying, let's just get the data into the cloud, and then that's kind of our domain. So you know, the accessibility of just being able to light up on HD Insight and get the capabilities of Hadoop managed by Microsoft rather than ourselves was super advantageous. We definitely didn't want to get into the business of sort of the operation side of managing our own Hadoop installation.
I think that's actually another point about SQL Server was at the time the managed and hosted SQL options that you had when we started this project, you weren't going to run SSIS up in Azure unless you were going to host your own IaaS.
Right.
You know, SQL Server instance, which we just don't want to be in the business of. We have an extremely small operations team. We have, like, I think 6 people now on our operations team that run all of what you're talking about, or, you know, all of the compute resources that we use and all of the business that we do. So, and we like that. You know, it's a very agile team, very small team, and we would not be able to do that if we were hosting tons of infrastructure services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just kind of add to that. I think the downstream impact that we've had is kind of, Kelly said, naturally going into it, it was like, would it be Hadoop or over or so on? Now, sort of really realizing, you know, it's kind of the blessing and the curse, if you will, of having a very flexible system and providing a very powerful system. The downstream impact is now we actually understand even more of what our clients are doing, which is a lot more than perhaps we originally imagined. We now have the full power and capabilities there of the cloud, Hadoop. And really, it's less about the having to re-engineer the solution. It's more of a configuration and pricing conversation of you want to do more, you want to go quicker. Okay, well, this is what a configuration in the cloud looks like, and that it's more of an operational configuration than us engineering a solution then.
And one of the things that I wanted to add was, I mean, the team that Paul and his team are very technical. They are doing the right things, they're evaluating the product, asking the right questions, and they're making the right calls, not from a short term, what is required today, but what they want to achieve, how they want to mature their platform in being the best platform out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's one of their goals, I believe, and they are doing whatever is needed to achieve that goal. And they're making the right investments, right like strategy in selecting the platform, the tools that they're selecting. Because we have been working extremely close with Paul and his team, and they have been asking all the right questions to Microsoft, helping us not just to mature the platform, the solutions that we have, but also coming up with new capabilities and new features.
Yeah, I mean, kind of the flip side to that, you know, so, and I don't mean this at all in a bad way, but we work in on some very complex problems, and we solve some very hard engineering problems. So what you've seen today, you know, coming together is a culmination of a lot of stuff and you know, a lot of hard work and sweat and graft and tears across the teams. The upside is, you know, I'm happy to have conversations like this and share the learnings. But the key point I want to land is that, you know, we're kind of right out there. And you've seen that we're using, you know, HD Insight and we're doing pig scripts and so on and so forth. Out of the box, you know, Azure Data Factory has a ton of stuff to be able to just build data sets and, you know, for more straightforward, if you will, scenarios. You know, you don't have to go to the extreme that which is kind of where we get pushed. You know, it's kind of the fun thing of my job and the team and what we do. But out of the box, there's a ton of capabilities to do more sort of I'll choose my words carefully, but kind of just, you know, kind of mainstream activities. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. You know, Anand and team have provided a lot of out-of-the-box capability to say, hey, so what I saw, that's probably kind of out there for what I need, but we're not on the high end of Milliman of the complexity, but can I do that? Absolutely you can. You know, and the data sets and being able to just kind of pull them together in a simple means is, you know, kind of what Anand and team have done makes it accessible to the masses. So, you know, you've seen a hard problem, you've seen us pull together, I think, a really nice solution. But the takeaway is you can do that as well and apply to your industry and your solutions pretty easily.
Yeah, I think the key add-on to that would be that the main reason that we built our own application on top of Azure Data Factory is one of the big problems that we have is we need to have lots of control over the scripts and mm-hmm. being able to explain where results came from and how right. the data was manipulated. A lot of people treat data management as much more of a ad hoc problem, you know, and if that's the way the organization works, you know, then Azure Data Factory out of the box is perfect for that. And I think, you know, our situation was we had a lot of things that we wanted to control very, very carefully. We wanted to abstract away the fact that customers are using Azure mm-hmm. Data Factory. And also, largely, we wanted to make it easier for our customers, actuaries, to actually use Azure Data Factory. So we wouldn't generally expect actuaries to go and work in Azure Data Factory directly. So you might have noticed when you pulled up the pig script when we were digging through Azure Data Factory, it was pretty nasty looking. and the reason it looked like that was because a large part of that script is auto-generated from our schemas and other higher level concepts that we've added to our system that are not really Azure Data Factory concepts. And so we auto-generate a lot of the scripting and auto-generate a lot of steps and things that, you know, maybe other customers wouldn't need to do. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a quick question? Because it kind of builds on that.
Yep, please do.
I think you also mentioned that some of the actuaries were doing some of the scripting at some point.
Yeah, the actuaries, yeah. Yep.
They still are, right? So
yep.
Can you speak a little bit about getting them to use this sort of technology when that's not really, you know, they're not developers, so it's a foreign space for them?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start and Kelly can kind of chime in. So it was kind of our big nervousness. I mean, there's a couple of things of having to think about the end user. So you kind of play it forward. So the client's either going to on staff or going to have to go hire some data architects or whatever else. So they're going to go to Indeed.com or whatever recruiters and say, give me this resource to be able to do that. And so our nervousness was, were they going to have to make a huge investment? Did that market exist? And more importantly, what we really wanted is the actuaries themselves who understood the data to be able to use it. So we definitely went through a, you know, will they get that? The understanding of how to use pig, would we be able to get people in from the marketplace? The reality is it just clicked. And I am absolutely not lying that the actuaries are writing the pig scripts. Now, and there is a market out there, which is great. So what they ended up doing is bringing in some other folks to support them as well. So I think the team generally consisted of, early on, my team working to sort of skill up the actuaries, if you will, on what's pig. They also brought in some supplementary resource from outside, but predominantly the team was the actuaries, supplemented by us for learning, and one or two contractors to kind of skill things up. And then as time went by, they became more and more proficient. So that was a big tick. The second thing, as you get into this space, and whether it's doing pig scripts, whether it's writing SQL or TSQL, is you can write whatever you like, right? So one of the problems we then had is they absolutely got Pig, they loved it, and they started writing these Uber things. You know, I think actually one of the Pig scripts that, you know, we evaluated that was never came back, if you will, you know, would have taken 20 years to process because of the, you saw the complexities on the Pig scripts as you got one script pulling data from here, there, and everywhere, calling another one, so on and so forth. So that was, it was more than the sort of the best practices and understanding the, you know, with great power becomes great responsibility. So kind of dialing some of that back in. So then the job became more of the, hey, why is this taking so long to process? And it was more of the best practices. But I feel like we're on a pretty even keel now. But that ramp up was super quick. Now, keep in mind, I guess in our world with actuaries, these are folks that live in Excel and write VBA code and so on and so forth, and they're coming from a very math scientific background. So they probably have a level of advantage there based on sort of their capabilities. So depending on the folk that you have, it might be a little bit more of a ramp up. But the market exists out there. So if you have to go outside, I mean, big data, Pig, Hive, there's lots of folk out there.
Yeah, actuaries are very much like data scientists. They do, you know, back when I started as an actuary, in those days, probably 80% of our job was data manipulation. It wasn't even doing the actuarial thought, you know. It was all just getting the data into a form that you could run it through some models to get some answer that you were looking for. And, you know, realistically, 3 out of every 4 hours that anybody spent on anything was all spent on data manipulation. So, and you know, they use SQL, they use VBA, they use any number of different tools. Pig was new for them; it wasn't something they'd seen before. But you know, they're all familiar with relational databases and that sort of stuff. So, it wasn't a huge leap for them to be able to understand. And then the biggest thing is once they start to find new powerful capabilities, they tend to shoot themselves in the foot very quickly with them. And that's where, you know, having a really close relationship between the project team and the actuaries, well, sorry, the product team and the project team doing the work with the actuaries is really, really important in our organization so that we can kind of keep an eye on what they're doing and you know, help them do it better.
I think Anand actually saw one that was failing. So you saw in our tool that there was a lot of kind of administrative stuff in there to see, hey, hang on a minute, we have a, you know, something that's failing here. So kind of being able to keep a watch on that. Any more questions? All right. Well, you've been a fantastic audience. Thank you, everyone. And if you want to come chat afterwards, we'll be here for a few minutes. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.